blood, violence, freaks of nature? Well, then come on down to Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madmen. Yeah, see the alligator boy. Ride my famous murder ride. Most of all, don't forget to take home some of my tasty fried chicken. Ha ha! It just tastes so damn good.
Coming soon to a theater near you. Just when you thought you'd never have to say, and we're back again. And we're back! The iPod's best thing ever, ass. C4, Cobalt, and Hooks, starring... Game Radio. And we're back! I had to do it, especially after this week's great intro, which got sent to us by Big Boy 2008. Unfortunately, though, Hooks is not here this week, even though he was supposed to be. He got a flat tire on his way home from work and couldn't quite make it.
That's a ghetto place to get a flat tire, too.
Yeah, stuck on the side of a damn mountain somewhere. Yeah. Now, he said he actually made it almost to the bottom, though. So,
that's good.
Yeah. So I guess his girlfriend came up there to bail. Mrs. Hooks came up to bail him out. And he wasn't going to be able to make the show this week, but the intro was so funny, I thought we absolutely have to play this. And thanks very much, Big Boy, for the intro. That was pretty damn funny, and we laughed about it all day yesterday, too, listening to it quite a few times. This is Games and More Entertainment Radio. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
This is episode 96. The website is www.hwhq.com. You can send us email at c4.gameradio, that's game radio, at gmail.com. And last week, I blew it. I forgot to mention IRC. And Bryn, somebody who's been kind of new to IRC, new with us on IRC, I'm sure he's not new to IRC, but he's been hanging out there with us, great guy, reminded me, you screwed up, forgot to tell everybody to join the IRC channel. And in case you don't know what that is, it is irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer, that's a little pound symbol, G-A-M-E-R. And you can use any kind of client you want. A lot of people I see on there with Trillion, stuff like that, some kind of Chatzilla crap. And I'm a big fan of something called XChat. Even though the Windows version blows, it's still better than, I think, at least, Merc. M-I-R-C, which I don't like very much. And if you don't know how to do all of that, you can actually hit up our forum. And somewhere like in the first part, like the announcements section of it, there is a whole thing on how to join IRC. I believe the new versions of XChat and M-I-R-C allow you to click IRC links, which we have on the front page of the site, too, on the bottom right-hand corner over there, usually where we have, like, some random music that, you know, whatever it is that I happen to be listening to that week and think that everybody else should probably check it out. If that doesn't work for you, you can fire up your client, type in /server/irc.oftc.net, hit enter, and then it'll connect you. You type /nick, and then space, and then whatever handle you use, and then hit enter, and /join, and then the pound symbol, well, after a space, pound symbol, G-A-M-E-R, and there you are with a whole mess load of people from all over the damn place talking about games and lots of dick and fart jokes. And it's a lot of fun because we can't seem to ever get a goddamn thing done in a day because I spend all day on IRC.
Speaking of things that you listen to that you try to get other people to listen to, that just reminded me. I finally sat down and listened to some Newsreel and The Tales from the After Now. Anybody who hasn't checked this stuff out needs to, because it is awesome.
Now, I've been badgering you for a while on this, haven't I?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tales from the After Now was fucking just fantastic, and I've heard every single episode and loved it, and can't wait for more. But Newsreel, see, I get to listen to that shit 5 days a week, and I listen to it at work and stuff, and I kept saying, Kobar, come on. You gotta hear this, it's so good. And next thing you know...
Yeah, so anybody who has not gone ahead and done that needs to, because... Sean Kennedy is the fucking man.
The fucking man. He definitely is. And if you need to get there, it is www.rantradio.com/shows/newsreel, all lowercase. That will take you right to the site where you can download the archives and whatnot. And I do believe it streams at 9 a.m. five days a week during the weekdays on Rant Radio, which blows because for some reason I can't get it at work.
Oh, no.
It won't get through the proxy.
The at all or just the
at all.
The live?
I can't get
so
anything.
So you have to record it onto a CD?
But I'm always a day or two late.
Yeah.
And I'm at work at 6 a.m., so at 9 I could listen live every day. Well, kind of live. I could listen when it streams for the first time every day, and I can't. Mm. It will not work. But, like, digitally imported, that works.
Right.
It gets right through the proxy, so I'm not quite sure what is exactly up with that, but kind of bummed, but I make do, because once in a while it takes them a few days to post the archive, so, like, you know, it sucks for a day or two, but then, like, I get, like, three shows in every now and again. And it's a hell of a good day at work that day. Seems like I get a whole lot of work done while I space out and listen to things that actually matter.
Yeah, so that just reminded me, I thought I'd let everybody know that I, too, think that you should go check that out.
Absolutely. And I would love to sit here and go on some long rant about it and bitch and complain and rip into actual popular media and stuff, but I just don't have it in me today. Because we're hella pressed for time. This is going to be the first show that we've done where we actually have, like, the absolute least amount of time. Before, like, between recording and streaming, usually we have, like, 2 days. And I can take my sweet, lazy-ass time on getting things together. And, you know, the editing, at least, of the show that we do here, isn't so much censoring as it is trying to make sure it sounds okay.
Right.
You know, I mean, most
of
it is
coughing and
lots and lots of coughing. You know, yeah, and our little breaks in between and little random conversations that don't need to be in the show about what the hell should we do now? Should we jump this section? Where, you know, it's mostly just so that it sounds okay. And audio quality's been a big issue lately. We spent a good, like, hour and a half today working again trying to figure out the audio. You know what? I'm so awesome. I forgot. I didn't have the microphone plugged in. We spent so long fucking around with this trying to get Studio A, as it has been dubbed. That would be Lucy. Trying to record the goddamn show, and I didn't have the microphone plugged in until I just threw up my hands, said, forget it. We're doing it back on your box. And I went to go unplug the microphone, and it wasn't even plugged in. And after I checked, yes, I do computer repair for a living, too. That's the best part.
Well, see, that's how it happens. The more you know, the more you forget to check the simple stuff.
I guess so. I checked, but it's so dark because, see, that light's burned out.
Right.
Right? So I haven't gotten a replacement bulb. So back there, the green looks kind of beigey, just like the only beige cord back there, which is the microphone cord, which hella blows because I screwed up. So, yeah, Hooks is not here. He wants to be, and I actually planned on mentioning what he wanted to talk about anyway, just so you can, like, imagine that he was there and making some kind of ethnic joke. Something else cool that happened this week, just before the email, I thought this was really, really neat. I need to get my A-plus certification, and I thought this was actually worthy to mention. It has nothing to do with games, but it sure can do a lot with entertainment, I guess. There is, Google has books online, and when I say books, I mean fucking the whole book. It's print.google.com, and I have to point out, Zayfan told me about this. I had no idea. Somehow it came up on IRC. We were talking about A-plus, actually, and he says, no, don't go out and buy a book. Check this out, print.google.com.
And it's free?
And it's free. You have to have some kind of an account with them, though, whether it's a Gmail account or I imagine I guess that would be it. I don't know. It let me in, but when I wasn't signed in, at some point I could view a few, what they call them, unrestricted pages,
mm-hmm.
but I had to put in my Gmail, and then it would just show me the whole book. I mean, like, 400 pages on whatever the hell book it was that I wanted.
Wow.
Is it
a pretty good selection?
I didn't go too far past, like, some A-plus stuff and, of all things, veterinary technician stuff, but that's besides the point. What I looked at, I'm sure that they have some serious stuff there. And I'm sure they have, I don't know, I really didn't go into it too deep, but Jesus, dude, they had what I was looking for.
That's something to check out.
Definitely. That is really cool. If they have any kind of fiction stuff there, that'd be kind of neat, too. You know, just to sit and chill out. What I don't like the interface, of course. Of course. I have a problem with staring at a damn web page with a shrunken down scan, essentially a PDF of the page that I want to look at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking to myself, somebody, you know, some of these crazy guys with mad skills need to write some kind of a program that you just basically pull up the name of the book or whatever, and once you get, like, the URL from Google of the entire book, you can throw it into some program which will then leech the pictures down.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just have, like, a directory full of pictures, which would be, like, the pages themselves or whatever.
Right.
That would be way cool. Or even maybe one that could assemble a little PDF or something for you. That would be neat, too. I don't like the interface so much. And sure, I'm sure they want me to see it and see all their ads, but that doesn't work for me. But the idea, I mean, they had all kinds of shit there, too. I typed in A+ and came up with 33,000 different books.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane. It was awesome.
Well, all right.
Yeah, so that is definitely worth checking out. I don't even know how that skipped by me. I heard about it a long time ago, I thought, and never checked it out because it sounded like it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, it fucking works great. It's pretty awesome. So, getting right into the email, and boy, do we have email this week. I am such a happy camper. I do believe we got this email at the last minute, and I just kind of, well, actually, no, I guess it came in yesterday. But I didn't check. I checked email like 2 days ago, because I tried to get the notes ready early. And this email came in just after I checked, I guess, it looks like. And I'm a happy camper, because we got 3 emails this week. We got one from Big Boy, actually, who sent us in the intro. Hey, C4, Kobar, and maybe Hooks. Maybe. I'm into video editing, and I have just given up on the game Conker's Live and Reloaded, which brings me to that game in general. Conker's is a great game. I bought this game, and because it's a remake, and it is not a new game. It's a remake, and this game is great. Now, remember we had issues trying to figure out if this was, like, brand new?
No, you had issues.
I swore I thought it was new, but I don't know. I'm retarded, I guess. I've been playing Conker since the N64, and if you have an Xbox lying around, buy it. If you're into quirky, violent, and crazy humor, action, and problem-solving, then go and pick this game up later, guys. So, yeah. I guess it is just a remake, which is kind of a letdown. I didn't think that until we were reading reviews on it. Finally, for some reason, I thought they had the original game redone in there, and they had a new game. But that is not the case, and that's kind of a letdown for me.
Well, the live stuff is new.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't
think... The multiplayer,
killing
people online
and everything. Yeah, I don't think the original had any multiplayer.
It had multiplayer.
Oh, did it?
But it didn't have any kind of N64 Live or anything.
Yeah. Right.
You had to play, like, you know, 2 or 4 or 3 or whatever player split screen.
Right.
And we used to play it at work an awful lot. My buddy Bro Dave and Hunter and I used to play. So we played that an awful lot, too, for quite some time, because it was bloody and kind of fun, so...
And I imagine there are extra modes for the live.
I'm pretty sure that was that game. We played the shit out of something, and I was pretty sure it was that. Yeah, I'm sure they have a bunch of cool stuff.
It might be. I never got to play it.
Yeah, I don't know. The demo for this was hella fun, though.
It was hard.
You know, it was, but my problem was the camera was funky, though. The way it got behind your shoulder,
yeah,
it was just kind of weird.
Once you got past that first part with the bunker, it got a little easier.
Oh, with the bombs coming down. You were running through the, like, the razor wire.
Yeah, that part was tough.
Yeah, that I don't know why it was so hard. I probably just wasn't paying very good attention to, like, the pattern the bombs were dropping, and I just kept thinking I could just run through, but I died there, like, 40 times, I swear to God. It really pissed me off. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing about that Conker's game that blew my mind more than anything I've seen in a long time. The fur looked like fur.
Yeah.
You know, it really did. It wasn't just a texture on some regular polygon. It was furry. It really, really was, and it blew my mind. I mean, it was just like, wow, this looks very, very realistic, and that was really cool about it. And, I mean, shit, you know, the first one, what little I did play of it, but I saw a lot of it. It was good. It was a fun game, and it even got pretty good reviews, even being a remake.
Mm.
So I'm pretty sure that's a safe bet to go ahead and pick that up for your Xbox. If mine worked, I'd probably have it. So, I don't know. Let's see. 2 more emails here. We got one from Francois. Hey, guys, I just wanted to tell you that your show is great. I've seen many podcasts. There's that word I don't like so much. Let's try that again. I've seen many internet radio shows take a downfall, but you guys keep the show interesting week after week. Because of your show, I've watched some excellent movies and TV series that I would have been missing otherwise. Keep up the good work. Thank you. I'm glad that somebody, you know, we don't do this because we can't sit and communicate with each other. You know, we can sit and talk about this all day by ourselves, and it's a lot of fun. But, you know, it's a great idea that, you know, came up one day that we thought we could, share fun things.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's about. It's just fun stuff. It's really cool, and that's the idea.
It's nice to get those emails because that justifies what we're doing.
Exactly. You know, it's just like if somebody says, wow, I thought this game sucked balls, and, you know, you guys said it was so cool, you know, I broke down and rented it, and shit, it blew my mind. That makes me feel really, really good. You know, mm-hmm. Just like when we get emails, it's just like, hey, check this game out. You guys would love it. And we do. And it blows my mind. You know, like, Jesus, I remember Burnout 3. I didn't play for a long time, but you know what happened? I kept hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we get emails, and I'd hear about it, and I was just like, oh, fuck it, I gotta play this game. And you know what? That game is the shit. It was game of the year for me the year before, I'm sure, if anybody remembers.
Yeah.
It blew my mind. A race car game. And you know, I actually got to play it the other day again, and it tripped that switch in my brain, where I was just like, oh my god, I have to play this game again. I have to play this game some more, because I only got like 75% of the way through it, where I was getting all gold medals and shit, and then I fired it up just to show somebody, Mrs. Four, actually, and I was just like, you gotta see this game, it's so awesome. And I found one of the elimination matches I only had a silver in, and I was like hooked, I couldn't stop playing it, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll quit. but I want to play again now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I want to play again now.
The new one's not that far off.
No,
is it?
It is not. And you know what? Spets told me that there was a demo out available at Best Buy of all places.
Uh-huh.
And I searched our local Best Buy, and they do not have it there at all.
Mm.
And I am very, very upset about that because I want to play the demo. There was a few problems, though. There was a few things that were a little off about the demo that he mentioned. Hopefully things that will be fixed because, remember, demos are not a final product.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's going to come up a lot in today's show.
Mm-hmm.
The demo thing and how things are not quite final. So keep that in mind when we're talking about some of the stuff we talk about later today. Moving on. Now, when I saw this email and who this came in from, I screamed, yes! And it was a loud scream because I was so happy. Because this is probably our greatest emailer ever. MC Cushion back in the house with another fat email breaking it down. And everybody knows how awesome his stuff is. And it's just like I'm sitting here looking at 2.25 pages of pure ass kick. So get ready. Let's see.
Kick back, grab some popcorn, you know, and here we go.
Yeah, crack open a beer, which is probably what I think I need to do at this point anyway because I am dry now. And it's funny because of what he mentions at the end of this show. This is Hoax's fault. I'm going to blame him again for this week.
Okay.
Even though he's not here, it's still somehow Hooks' fault. It seems like a good idea to do the show mildly intoxicated. It just kind of loosens things up for me a little bit, although it does make me stumble over words a little bit more. Today, we have Sierra Nevada Summerfest. This is some good stuff.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking green tea.
Arizona green tea. But you had your wisdom teeth pulled like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I'm actually also on codeine, so.
Yeah. Oh, I thought they'd give you Vicodin.
No, it's
codeine.
Hydrocodone
plus
ibuprofen. It's actually basically the off-brand of Vicodin.
Ah.
Or Vicoprofen.
Vicoprofen. Either way, you had a beer, you would be laying on the floor right now, probably all kinds of screwed up and not very good for the show. All right, so the email here from MC Cushion. Where are the new games? Is the title of this email. It says, hey, C4 and Kobar and guest. And unfortunately, Hooks didn't make it. And I would have loved to have said, hey, C4 and Kobar and Hooks. But he's not here. He has a flat tire, and it must suck ass for him because it is hot outside, and I hate summertime. I knew it had been a while since I sent in an email, so I thought I would comment on a few subjects you brought up recently on the show. First of all, being the lack of new games worth getting excited about. Now, I know Battlefield 2 just came out for the PC, but since I'm mostly a console guy, this really doesn't help me. Mostly, I've just been going back to the games I got myself for last Christmas or the Christmas time games that are now super cheap. If you're a cheap bastard like me, I recommend going to www.cheapassgamer.com.
Nice.
Yeah. This has actually been, I've been here a couple times before, and somebody keeps bringing it, I think Rybo, keeps bringing it up to me in IRC, saying, I have to mention it, and I thought we did once. Let's see, this site has been around for a while, but not everybody might have heard of it. It's constantly updated with recent cheap-ass findings at major video game stores, both online and on the interweb.
So it's not an actual place where you go and buy stuff. It just points you in the right direction.
Right. Like, I remember one time going there, and they showed me that they had Circuit City had a bunch of PS2 games for $5.
Nice.
And it wasn't like hella ghetto games either. You know, it was stuff that was like maybe $20.
Right.
And had been out for just a little bit. Let's see here. This has helped me score stuff like, oh, fuck, Halo 2 Collector's Edition for $29 and
Jeez.
The Bard's Tale for $10. Definitely worth checking out because sometimes the super cheap games are typos on websites and they disappear really quick.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome because you know what? A good deal on games is nice.
Yeah, I think by law they have to, if someone typos, they have to sell it for that until they fix it.
I don't know. I remember, I think a long time ago, Buy.com had like a fucking like $700 monitor for like $70 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they didn't ship them. I thought they gave them like $100 gift certificates or something. I don't know what they're actually supposed to do.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not so
well,
sure.
I know. I don't know about online, but in retail stores, if it's something's marked, that's what
that's
they
what
sell
the price
it for.
Is, right?
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's true. I don't see why it would be too different on the web, you know, or as he puts it, interweb.
Yeah.
That's what it is. All right, carrying on, this next paragraph I particularly like a lot. You also noted that the only game you'd been playing lately was Super Mario Bros. For the NES. Well, I got one better. Now, that's hard to beat. What the fuck is he playing, Pong all day? Check this out. Recently, Mrs. Kush... I love this strange joke we've come up with calling everybody's girlfriends or wives Mrs. whatever your handle is. That's pretty awesome. Mrs. Cushion's mother was cleaning out her attic and found a box... Oh, shit. Stuffed with two Atari 2600s.
Nice.
Several joysticks and paddles and a heaping helping of games, all the classics. I offered her the hefty sum of $10 for the whole box. But she said, this is gold. This is gold. Check this out. If you care that much about them, they're yours. No charge. I was so happy because I had recently found my old Atari and games in a closet, and not only did this replace some of my joysticks, most were broken from years of grinding the stick left and right, but it also filled out my collection. I can't believe I never got Kaboom or Stampede. Since then, I've cleaned up her Ataris and tested her games, and about 95% of them work great. The reason I mention this is, just like you went back to Super Mario Bros. 1, I'm having a blast playing classics like Space Invaders and Donkey Kong the way they should be played. Well, at least the poorer quality 2600 version I loved as a kid. And with the double system and many doubles of the games, I can set up a 2600 in my son, Pincushion's room, in a few years.
Pincushion? Yeah.
In a few years, so he can learn gaming from the Atari just like I did when I was a kid. You know, I can't tell if that's heartwarming or kind of sad. Anyway, I knew since you guys are in your mid to late 20s, Cushion equals 29, you could relate. Or at least I hope so, or else I'm feeling real old. Now, I've got a lot to say about that paragraph.
Yeah, we can relate. And I think that's great to have your kids working on the old stuff. Show them what old school's like.
I am 100% in agreement. Because a long time ago, the thought crossed my mind, if I ever had kids, and I wanted to teach them... Well, that was a weird sentence to say. And if I wanted to teach them about computers and games, I would want them to start from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You do not get a PC and your first operating system is fucking Windows Vista. I'm sorry. That can't happen. Or you will not know anything.
Mm-hmm.
You will not know how it works.
PlayStation generation
you
fools.
You cannot have your first console be an Xbox 360, a PlayStation 3. You can't. You can't. You will have no idea. And that's why I always thought it was extremely important to start from scratch. Start from the basics. Learn how it... You're fucking like 2 years old or three or whatever the hell it is. You're not going to be sitting down and pick up an Xbox controller with, you know, 27 buttons on it and be able to bust out a game of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You have an Atari, though, with one button and a stick. That is easy to handle. You start out with something like Pac-Man, where you don't even need the button. You know, you just aim yourself, and you work your way up. And I think that is an incredible idea and a fantastic learning experience. You cannot tell me that somebody who has never played Zelda could not enjoy it. Oh, wait, this brings up an interesting topic.
I didn't know that's where you were going to go with
that. No, it wasn't. It was just kind of an accident, but, you know, it happened.
No, when you said you can't tell me that someone hasn't played Zelda, then you, like, paused for just a second.
Yeah, that all came up just right now. I didn't plan that.
Never played Zelda.
But you tried, didn't you? Oh, no, but you never actually got to play, right?
I was going to. And then there was something wrong with my copy.
There was technical difficulties.
Yeah.
He couldn't blow on the cartridge hard enough or something. Right.
Yeah.
This has everything to do with legal cartridges.
Eventually, yeah. I will get around to getting a working copy and we'll check it out.
Yeah, you need to. And you might want to really try out the VS Zelda. You really might want to try that version so it won't, like, hurt you that bad as far as the graphic quality goes.
Yeah, I need more than 6 pixels to a character. I mean,
maybe not, though. I think... What about the Game Boy Advance version, the NES Classics one?
That looks the same, doesn't it? It's just a direct port.
It actually looks a little bit worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I ended up taking out, like, one whole line of pixels, like, every three blocks, or whatever the hell it was.
Mm.
They're missing a little bit. So it looks worse. But you wouldn't notice it. You're just going to say it looks like shit anyway. But that's seriously worth checking out, because it is a freaking classic. Cushion City is 29. Oh, my God. I'm going to be 27 in 2 months. October. How old are you? You?
I'm 23.
23? So, this is his excuse for not playing the classics. By the way, when I fired up Super Mario Bros. 3 the other day, what did you tell me?
No, I had never played that one either.
Yeah. Okay, wait. What?
No.
That's what you said originally, and as I was playing, you said, oh, I never beat it, but I played it a bit.
Yeah, I had never played 2, the one with the princess.
Oh, right. Then we saw that funky Transformers hack, and we moved on. Okay, carrying on with Cushion's mighty email. We're not even through page one. This is so bad.
In my defense, like I've said before, I didn't really get into gaming until the Genesis Super Nintendo.
How old were you at that point, though?
I was decently old, but my dad had this real weird thing against video games at first.
Right, my parents still do. You're wasting your life. Yes, I am. And I'm having a fucking blast and having a great time doing it.
The Master System and Nintendo was before my time, basically.
That's sad. That is really sad. All right. Also, you mentioned that neither of you could get into Katamari Damacy. Well, neither can I. Now for a while, I've been getting games based on popular opinion. No, not based on shit like IGN's 9.5s for stuff like Madden.
Best game ever!
But you know what? Madden 2006 is out. In, like, 2 days or some shit.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hear nothing of it from Ravana. He's just going to be...
I'll get it from Hooked. Womp, 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 womp.
Madden's so cool. Womp, womp, womp.
Madden, womp, womp, womp. Yeah, orgasm, womp, womp, womp. Madden, but based on what I've been hearing on forums, and non-commercial gaming audio shows like Games and More Entertainment Radio. That would be us in case you forgot already.
Mm-hmm.
I know this isn't a very smart thing to do. Hey, it is too. Listen to us, all right? To just buy a game sight unseen. But I figure if the game sounds good enough, like Burnout 3, or if the price is right, Beyond Good and Evil for $8 new, speaking of which, I finally picked that up for the PS2 for like $5.
Nice.
It was like, I think it was $5.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't played it, that's not the point. I have it now, and at some point in time, I will get a chance to play it. Let's see, Cushion says, I'll take my chances. This leads us to Katamari Damacy. I scored it at Best Buy for $19.99 and was very happy, since I heard this game was the second coming of Christ. Unfortunately, I didn't get it at all. Don't get me wrong, it's okay for a puzzle game, but between all the English, crazy Japanese music...
The music is nuts!
That's what he
said. Oh my god!
And PS1 level graphics, it really soured the deal. Honestly, the only reason I haven't sold this game on eBay yet is because the cult that loves this game will probably ask more for it in a couple of years.
Well, now, Hades brought up a pretty interesting point that I had not really thought of.
We need to get him on the show, Hades.
Yeah, we do.
We really do. At some point. Now that he's all moved into his new home and shit, and he lived across the country and everything's chill and he doesn't have a job anymore.
Yeah, we do need
to. He's got all the free time in the world. He's like Modem, but older and responsible.
Anyway, he mentioned that it's more of... I said that I could not see myself playing this for more than like 10 minutes. And he said, well, that's kind of the point. Is it a game you can pick up and play for 10 minutes? I'm so used to games like World of Warcraft or EverQuest or any other number of game that I sit down and play for like 6, 7, 12 hours at a time.
Right, right.
And you can't do that with this. No one can, I don't think. But that's the point, is that you have 10, 15 minutes you can pick up and just kind of screw around. And I thought, well, now, in that light, it's not that bad.
That's what I look at games like Battlefield 2 like, though. You know, I come home from work, and it's like, well, I've got 8 hours. Fuck, I'm going to play some Final Fantasy XI.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I'm going to play some EverQuest 2. I got all day. I swear to God, I look at an MMORPG, and if I don't have, like, 5 hours to play, I won't want to play it.
It's tough.
It's not worth firing it up. It's not. But I look at something like Tactical Ops or like Battlefield 2 currently, I think to myself, shit, I've only got 2, 3, 4 hours. I can sit down and play for just a little bit, and I have a freaking blast, and the minute you sign on, once you get past the Battlefield 2 crap-ass interface, you're having a good time, right. So it's not that bad. So, let's see, carrying on. I'm not trying to hate on Katamari just to start shit, but because nobody I know really gets the game. Maybe a listener can write in and explain the appeal. That would be nice, to hear what is so fucking great about this, other than the fact that it hasn't been done before. Doesn't make it good.
It does get good points, though.
No, it does. But just because it hasn't been done before doesn't make it fun.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, simply put, it's got to be actually fun, too. You know? And it's a bonus if it's new, revolutionary. You know, if it's brand new, you've never seen it done before, and it's fun, that's amazing.
Right.
That's amazing.
Originality in itself does give major points, even if it's an so-so game. It gets major points just for being new and different.
Like The Sims. I can't stand that fucking game.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, did you ever play the first one?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay, for how long?
About 45 minutes.
See? I played it for maybe a week. Maybe. And when I say a week, I mean I played it at work for, like, maybe anywhere from 5 minutes to 3 hours, say, a night for 1 week. Hunter and I both played it for about a week. Just because it was like, wow, this is new. And we went through the whole, like, making your dream pad, and I spent a hell of a lot of time designing my house. Less time dicking with the guy, you know, and less time messing with the neighbors. I got more into the building the house and putting it all together and having fun that way, and then having my little dude walk around it. I had, like, this huge game room in one of the houses I made. It was awesome. It got really fucking old really quick, though.
Yeah, it did.
You know, and I just, like, sure, it was original. Awesome. And I had fun for less than, you know, maybe 15 hours. That's not okay. I wouldn't pay for that. You know, so, sorry. No good. That's why I'm really concerned about Spore.
Yeah.
It seems like a fantastic idea.
It seems
though.
Like a great idea.
And I sure hope they don't blow that.
It also seems like it's going to be, instead of building relationships and stuff, you're building empires and...
Which I'm down for. Right. I'm into that kind of shit right there. Yeah, I think that'll be fucking awesome. All right, let's see here. Cushion's email. And one final note. Okay, now, it says one final note.
Like halfway through the first page?
Yes. Yeah, well, no. Halfway through the email.
Right.
Exactly about halfway through. Okay. And one final note. In episode 95, the issue of broken controllers was brought up, and I thought I would add my 2 cents. No, I have never broken a controller. But the only one I tried to destroy was a NES controller. First party original design. You know, the original hella
rectangular. Those things were like tanks.
They were burly. Not based on a game, but on a bad day. The shell is very slightly cockeyed, but to this day, it works great. One thing I did notice, and this was always a question I had, was a problem with the Sega Saturn controllers. I had 3 of them, 2 original style, and 1 was the gray sleeker style. And the R button stopped working on all 3 after a period of time. None of my games were R button heavy, so maybe that was a common problem. That's kind of weird. Also, the topic of Mad Catz controllers was addressed, so I thought I would share my odd experience. I own 2 Mad Catz controllers, one for the Xbox and one for the PS2. The buttons on the PS2 controller were starting to rub off and become mushy, so I picked up another standard Mad Catz PS2 controller. At the time, I was playing GTA San Andreas, which I eventually beat with 100%.
Oh my god, that's...
Wait, I gotta stand. That was fucking impressive. Because remember he sent us screenshots of, like, him beating Vice City and
right,
shit 100% because I didn't think anybody would actually do it for real. Let's see. And notice that without touching the stick, the character would start to walk to the right. Since San Andreas is a touchy game, I chalked it up to the ultra-sensitive controls until it happened in other games. So I took the controller back and bought another one at another store. Still standard Mad Catz. PS2, but the button font looks different. Oh, okay. So I figured the model was different, too. A few days later, guess who's walking to the right again? I took the controller back and bought a first-party DualShock 2. Word. I'm telling you. The reason this is so weird is because my Mad Catz Xbox controller, which is the big design from 2001, is just now getting a mushy B button, and that's it. Very strange. Either Mad Catz has lowered their standards, or they just hate the PS2. That's kind of interesting, though. Good to know exactly what you can buy for quality out there if you're going to get a third party. It looks like
yeah.
The Mad Catz Xbox ones are pretty decent.
I've noticed that a lot of this kind of stuff, just in general, like eMachines, for example, is a great example. you'd be playing along, same model and everything with two different people, and one will crash in a week and the others will last forever.
A lot of hard drive problems and power supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I just mean
you
in
said
general.
E-machines,
this,
right?
Right.
Right, okay.
But I was just talking about in general this, like, kind of bargain style.
That's just
electronics.
What I work on all day, so right. I had to say something.
This bargain style electronics, you end up with two people can buy at the same time, the same store, the same type of controller, and one will crap out right away.
No, shit happens, though. I mean, there's a lot of bad shit. First of all, those things get shipped from far away.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the people that take them off the truck don't treat them very well.
Right.
Three, they're thrown around by the salespeople an awful lot. And four, they're crap.
Mm-hmm.
They're really just cheap shit. Like, I mean, today, I put new memory in some lady's laptop. Brand new memory right off the shelf. It was bad. You know, it happens. Mm-hmm. You know, I get e-machines all the time that have, random problems a lot. But in the long run,
shit.
It's because they are crap, you know. And in the long run, though, e-machines is usually a power supply problem or a dying hard drive. A lot of CD-ROMs go out on those, too, I notice. It's really fucking bizarre what I see. Because I see this kind of crap. Hewlett-Packard laptops, I can almost guarantee you will break off the little point where you plug in the power adapter.
Oh, yeah?
All of them break off. And I don't know why. E-machines, gateway laptops, hinges break every time. Power button gets pushed in and cracks on gateways. It's fucked up. And this is all I think about all day. But I'll tell you what, Toshibas, they're pretty nice. If anything I see on a Toshiba, it's a dead hard drive. Or it just all of a sudden won't power on, and it's pretty rare. But it's dead hard drive, or it just will not power on for whatever random reason. That had nothing to do with anything important, so sorry. And to finish up, since I'm the designated GTA whore, you're probably wondering my thoughts on the hot coffee fiasco. God damn it. Yes, I am, Cushion, and I'm so glad that you emailed us and covered all kinds of shit. I believe, like everyone else, that it's something you do to the game made for mature audiences. If somebody keys my car, I can't sue the dealership for a shitty paint job.
That is a great analogy.
It really is. It really, really is. I can't, but let me put my thoughts about it this way. In the game, they basically force you to date two women, one to set up the rules for dating and one to acquire a keycard for a future mission. I ignored the first girl and killed the second. Hey, baby, hop in, draws katana blade, slice, and broke into her house with a keycard. That's how much I cared about seeing my character score with the ladies. That's a good point. Well, that's it for me. Sorry about the long email, but honestly, it had been a while, and I thought I would show that robo-Christian guy how it's done. keep up the great work and try to do a show sober for a change later. Cushion. Now, first of all, I will have you know that there's only been two shows that we've done not sober. Last show and then 90. And this show I've had about 5 beers. And that doesn't really count. Okay, and Hooks isn't here. So, believe it or not, we are this goofy sober all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you're not sober either, Mr. Pill Popper.
No, that's true, but...
It makes it a little bit more fun, a little bit easier to get through the show, though. I'll tell you what. I kind of like this idea, having a couple beers. Lightens things up just a little bit. All right. There was a bit of news this week, too. Two things, I think, I can't count, that really, really, really stood out this week. Now, I don't even know where to start.
How about dun 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 dun?
Yeah, I'm supposed to get on that, aren't I? And have the fucking audio clip for that, and I don't. Obviously, if you know us, we're talking about Mr. Anti-American, Anti-Free Speech Advocate Lawyer Jackie Thompson. The bane of video games.
The bane of America.
He really is, though. No, see, he's a terrorist. He's anti-free speech, anti-American, and look at our news today. You do anything against anything American, what do they call you?
A terrorist.
A terrorist. So guess what? Terrorist Jackie Thompson
strikes again.
Yep, he's still... Strikes Back? Wasn't that one of the movies? Okay, so he... I really thought it was going to cool down. I thought, okay, after hot coffee... He'll chill out.
And that is how his MO has been.
It is.
He'll attack something and then kind of disappear for a little while.
Exactly.
Until he runs out of money again.
Exactly. Grab what you can get and go. And then I do believe we mentioned last week, didn't we, about him going after The Sims 2?
Yeah.
Right, because of a mod that has nothing to do with Maxis.
If he wins this, I will have no faith.
I'm moving to Canada.
Yeah, I will have no faith in the American justice system
whatsoever.
I'll shack
up with Sean Kennedy, and we're just going to build like a little fort, and we're going to hole up somewhere. Underground, I swear to God.
Yeah, because this is beyond ridiculous.
It is. It's absolutely absurd. He cannot pull this off, and if he does, something's fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Something is fucked, and maybe I'll dedicate.
He has no grounds.
No,
he
doesn't.
No legal grounds for The Sims 2.
He has bullshit. He has bullshit, and he lied to begin with, saying that Maxis put in those models, full genitalia and everything. It's not true. That's not what got out. What got out in the media, because he said that first, was that Maxis put all that in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then he changed it when people called him a liar, and he knew that he was lying. It is complete bullshit. So now, you must be wondering. Although I'm sure you're not, because if you're listening to us, you probably read the news, too. Exactly what he is up to this week. It appears he's going after Killer 7 now. Now, this is that one game on it's on the GameCube or some shit, or they changed it to be the PS2, and then I think it's on both now.
Uh-huh.
I really don't know.
I think it's on the PS2 and the GameCube.
I think so, too, now. I think so, right. Too, yeah. It was supposed to be
GameCube. It was going to be
exclusive. Right. So anyway, he's going after Killer 7. This is the one with, you have like 7 different multiple personalities or whatever.
Change into...
And you're assassins, though.
A very weird, cel-shading anime...
Acid trip.
Yeah.
It's a strange game. But apparently, there's an issue with the game that he has. Now, I actually wrote down way too much for this article.
Yes, you did.
I know. It's like a page.
Like the whole article.
Pretty much. Essentially, the ESRB gave this game an M rating.
Mm-hmm.
Terrorist Jackie Thompson wants to change this to AO, adults only. Now, we all know that AO will hurt a game's sales.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you don't know that, let us explain. First of all, if you're a minor, your parents likely will not buy that for you. They will likely buy
an M
rated game. Exactly. A 17 plus, because they think, oh, my son's mature. Whatever. Adults only sounds like pornography.
Right.
So they likely will not buy that for you if you are underage.
And that's the point. In the movies, that's what gets an NC-17, is like full hardcore.
Do you remember movies before they had that? Didn't they have just like blah, 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 R, and then X, or triple X or whatever?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, when did this NC-17 crap came up?
And that's basically softcore porn.
Right.
And this game does not have any kind of porn in it.
Well, not really, but it does have a scene that he has an issue with. And that's what his issue is. Now, okay, so check this out now. Okay, well, first of all, continuing on sales. Adults only, the AO rating will not be carried by a lot of major retailers. Now you're looking at Walmart, Best Buy, CompUSA, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The major places that people shop are not going to carry an adults-only rated video game, for the most part. Like I'm pretty sure Best Buy will, though, maybe. Didn't they carry a BMX XXX?
I think so. I think I've seen it there.
I think they did, come to think of it. I don't know, but I know Walmart doesn't.
No.
Half their fucking movies and CDs you get.
Yeah.
Okay? And Walmart, though, unfortunately, is the biggest retailer. They sell the most crap. So pretty much, you want your game to be at Wally World. Whether you like them or not, if you're trying to sell a product, it would be nice if it was there, because people would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, terrorist Jackie Thompson had sent out an email to the head of the ESRB. What the hell does that stand? Entertainment Software Rating Board, whatever?
I think so.
They're the guys that stamp your games with, you know, children, E right. for everyone, T for teen, M for mature, AO. They're those guys. He forwarded this email, though, to Hillary Clinton, another big, big, big friend of mine, and my favorite person just next to terrorist Jackie Thompson, Senator Joseph Lieberman. Everybody knows his name really, really well. And you gotta love this part, he also forwarded that very same email to a bunch of media outlets, crap like IGN and whatnot, right? The places where word is going to get out so that he draws attention and can make something big of this. You know, he could have kept it quiet, sent it to those 3 people in the government. You know, in the ESRB. 2 people in the government and the ESRB.
The ones to be able to do anything about it.
Exactly. Instead, he tries to make a big media circus over this and stir a bunch of shit up by sending it out to big media. And you know what? We should email him and tell him, you should send us your information because we're a huge media outlet, so fuck you. God forbid he listens to the show, he will sue our asses into the ground, I'm sure, by now, for all that we've said. But, you know, he can kiss my ass because he sucks.
Yep. I would wear that like a...
like a badge of
the
pride,
summons,
though.
Yeah. I'd like slap it to my back.
Just staple it to your chest. Hell yes. All right, Jackie... No, I gotta say his name correctly. His title and everything. Terrorist Jackie Thompson. He sent out this email to the head of the ESRB, Hillary Clinton, Senator Joseph Lieberman, and media outlets. This email, we've got a lot of quotes from this. Well, the Killer 7 game underscores the fact that your organization... Now, remember, this was written to the head of the ESRB, some mm-hmm. chick, I think. And, not that that's a bad thing that she's female, I just no. say
Miss,
some chick.
Miss Vance.
Oh, Miss Vance, there we go. So, remember, it's written to her and just hoarded around to everybody else. Your organization and the industry it fronts for appear to try to get away with... does that make any fucking sense? Well, the Killer 7 game underscores the fact that your organization and the industry it fronts for appear to try to get away... he needed a comma or something. Away with anything that is harmful to kids, whether actually illegal or not. What it also means is that if jurors... in a criminal prosecution were asked whether Killer 7 contains sexual material harmful to minors in violation of statutory standards, then based upon the above enthusiastic review at everybody's favorite website, IGN.com, the answer to that question would probably be yes. That, or I just need to space this better because it's all spaced out weird because it printed strange. That answer would put the Entertainment Software Rating Board, in my opinion, in the middle of a criminal conspiracy, so now he's like kind of threatening and pointing some fingers, mm-hmm. to distribute sexual material harmful to minors in violation of criminal statutes. Bullshit. This is not a situation in which the ESRB has been blindsided by hidden or embedded content. Miss Vance. Oh, yeah. You all have known that the full-blown sex sequences are patently present in the game, yet you choose to put an M rather than an AO rating on it. Big mistake. If I were you, Miss Vance, I would immediately ask the makers of this game and all retailers to pull it from store shelves. If you don't, expect for others to use this latest scandal, that would be you, profiting from this, Jackie, which I am hereby officially kicking off, now he's the ringleader, of course,
right.
to call for a dismantling of the ESRB. Now he's destroying the organization that regulates video games. Isn't this what he said he wanted? To regulate video games?
Yeah.
Right. Now, maybe he just wants to do it, because, you know, he's 100% right about everything.
Of course.
And thinks he can do it better than everybody else. The fox has guarded the chickens long enough. Killer 7 seems to prove it. The sexual scenes in question... okay, now... the deal was, wherever the hell I got this article, probably from IGN, the sexual scenes that he's talking about, okay, they show a fully clothed chick, a dude, in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fully clothed, straddling a chick, who's also fully clothed. This is his reasoning for slapping this with AO.
Okay, first of all, NC-17, the movie rating, is, like I mentioned earlier, softcore porn.
Right.
Full-on... frontal nudity,
mm-hmm.
and people having sex, just no pictures of the penetration.
Right,
that's
right,
NC-17.
Right.
What is the M? 17 plus.
Exactly. And if you
can... and M is an NC-17 rating.
Exactly. Okay, it's the same thing. Okay, so now, and apparently, I guess, you know, the chick kind of moans and whatnot as if she's really getting into it.
Okay.
And this is what his problem is. So, Jackie's saying that same scene, I guess, is only, you know, PG-13 or an R rating, I guess, in a movie.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So, how can he sit here? I don't get it. This guy, he twists my brain so much that I can't even argue anymore.
He's literally an ex-ambulance chaser. I was listening to an interview with him. Which I had to turn off because I just got so freaking mad.
I heard
mad.
That same thing and don't remember the site or the radio show, and I feel bad because it looks like they have a shitload of episodes at like 70 or 80 now.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard it and I got about 10, 15 minutes in. I got pretty far, maybe 20 minutes into it, and I stopped. I could not listen to him anymore.
He was talking about how like his experience in the medical field, i.e.
Yeah.
ambulance chaser,
yeah.
allows him to be more...
he's an authority now.
Right. For all scientific investigations such as this. I'm just like, oh my God.
I know. Well, it makes me sick.
And frankly, his whole goal, at least on the front side, is that he wants to protect the children.
That's what he's saying.
And as far as gratuitous violence and all this other stuff, I personally think, yes, it's probably a good idea that anybody under the age of maybe even 18 cannot go and purchase by themselves this stuff.
I'm all for that. I'm over 18. And I do believe that some of this shit should be regulated. I really do.
I think that parents have a right to say, no, you,
exactly.
can't, you can't be... But
no,
that's the
you
problem.
Nailed it. Parents have the right. When you, before you are at the age of 18, you are a minor. Mm-hmm. You are under the control of your parents. Whether you want it to, at least here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's how it is. And whether or not you accept that, doesn't matter.
And legally speaking, on that ground, he has a footing.
Right, right.
And
but he
fine.
Does not have a right to regulate art.
But yes, exactly. As
this
well
is
as
where I have a big problem, is he is basically saying what can and cannot be shown, period.
Right. And more importantly, it is quite obvious to me that this has absolutely nothing to do with moral obligation or any of that other bullshit, because if it was, he would be attacking the retailer stores who are selling an already illegal product, M-rated games, to minors. It's already illegal to do that. You cannot do it.
You can't. I don't think it's illegal. Is it?
Yeah, it's against the law.
Do they get fined?
I don't know
or
how
they
bad.
They just get, like, yelled at.
I think they might just get yelled at, but it is
so
technically
too.
Against the rules.
It's against the rules, but it might be against the rules of... Well, no, because if it actually is pornography, it's definitely illegal.
But
like, gratuitous violence isn't.
Right.
Which I don't understand. I would much rather have my children seeing a love scene. Okay, now maybe not something like GTA, where it's just, you know, rough sex.
Yeah,
but a sweet love scene where you know, it's two individuals coming together and it's natural and all that shit. Versus RoboCop,
yeah,
where the guy gets blown to pieces and fucking destroyed. They can buy that, but they can't see something good.
What's worse to a little kid's fragile mind?
Exactly.
A titty? Or
movie?
An exploding head? A natural body part of the female anatomy.
A booby.
Or someone's head exploding.
I, you are entirely right.
And my point for all this, we got sidetracked a little bit. This is not what it's about. He doesn't give two flying fucks about kids.
He doesn't care.
Because...
That's his front.
He would be attacking the stores, not the people making the game.
Or
he attacks the people making the game because that's where the fucking money is.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's... Your fucking, your tell. That's terrorist Jackie Thompson's tell, right there. If he went out and tried to start his own organization, there's nothing that says the government puts the ESRB in power to regulate all of our games. There's not that. That was created by the industry to regulate their games.
Yeah.
This was something that...
That was something they decided to do for the parents.
For the people. This is a good thing. If you have such a problem with it, start your own. Don't try to make hella money off of it, okay, because
mm-hmm.
we know that's what you're doing. That is so blatantly obvious.
Trying to line your fucking wallet.
Exactly.
You don't give two shits about what you say you care about.
Exactly. And you know what? Unfortunately, it's working for him. I mean, what are we going to do? He has the media in his fucking hands. They eat that shit up. He can get on CNN and all that crap and talk all the smack he wants. And I guarantee you, my parents would more watch CNN than they would G4.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And they're going to hear his side.
And the worst thing about this all is if Hillary Clinton becomes president this next time, which it's looking she has a pretty solid chance of it, on the game side, we're fucked. We are totally screwed. They're just going to totally end the whole game industry. And it's going to be incredibly bad.
Do we know who she has picked as, like, a vice president?
I don't think she
Lieberman,
has
Lieberman, probably.
I don't think she has yet.
God, I hope not. If it's Lieberman and Hillary, I don't care if I have to vote Hillary Clinton and Lieberman versus Satan and Saddam Hussein. You can put me on the red team, okay? Seriously. It is that bad to me, because something like this is so near and dear to my heart and has been for my entire life. That it hurts me
mm-hmm.
when things like this happen. You know, it feels like I'm being attacked because I am. And
All of America is being attacked, and they don't know
You're
it
right.
or care.
You are entirely right. This has nothing to do with me and just gamers. This to me seems like a freedom of speech issue.
This is an attack on art.
It really
is. An attack on our First Amendment rights.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, there's no more that can be said because that's exactly how it is. That's exactly what terrorist Jackie Thompson does, and that's what he is. And he needs to be put down. He really does. We'll ship his ass off to Iraq or something. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Get him the fuck out of here because he is no good for America.
He belongs in
jail.
No, he belongs in segueing to the next thing, he belongs in China.
Yes. He absolutely does belong in China. You're right. And, you know, he would do great there because of, as you said, our next story here. Now, this blows my freaking mind. I cannot wrap my noodle around this one. Peking. Player killing, if you do not know, is essentially
PvP games and whatnot.
Right, anything where you kill somebody else
that's actually controlling the character behind that.
Right, is now illegal, not banned, not frowned upon, not disapproved of, illegal in China for minors. I don't even know what the hell to say with that. All games that allow any kind of killing of other players are illegal in China. You have to be 18 years old to kill somebody else in a video game. Mm-hmm. And they're saying it's dangerous to the mind, is why. They're saying that, you know, you can't do that because it messes with your head.
Well, I can see that. I can see the logic behind that way before this hot coffee bullshit.
I don't even know
so,
what to say.
So who's worse here, in all honesty?
Jackie's still worse.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Jackie's still worse. He really is, you know, because he's trying to hurt everybody, not just the minors. And granted, there's some amount of, you know, maybe I agree a little bit with that because
I at least understand the logic.
Right. Exactly. That makes sense. Which is completely.
I don't agree with it, but I understand the logic.
Exactly. I can see it. I can see it. It sounds good on paper. People should not be able to kill other people, virtually or whatever, until you're 18 years of age. Okay, I guess I can see that, and you're right, it does make some sense. And
again, I don't agree with it.
No, definitely not, okay? But, like, I guess if I was playing something like, let's say, Battlefield 2, Quake 3 Arena, Unreal Tournament 2004, Tactical Ops, whatever the case may be, and I'm shooting at other people, and I'm 10 years old, I guess I can see how that may have some kind of a psychological effect on me.
For example, I don't know how it works with anybody else, but me, there is a pit in my stomach that it gets generated, not necessarily a bad one, but like an edge of my seat sort of pit when I'm actually playing against someone else as opposed to just the computer.
Right.
There's actually a psychological difference there.
There is. It's not a, oh my god, I killed a man, though.
No.
It's me versus him, who's going to live.
Right.
You know, it's like a survival movie era, you know, some kind of movie where somebody's getting chased, you get scared. You know, it feels good, though.
Yeah, there's a very different feeling when you're playing against another player as opposed to just PvE.
There absolutely is. However, I do not believe past a certain point in age, as long as you're mentally stable, that it affects you.
No, I don't think so either.
You know, like, let's say you're 10 years old. You know, I might have to side with the Chinese government on that. I wouldn't want my 10-year-old blowing other people away in a realistic setting, like a military war game, first-person shooter type.
But if you ask me, there's not a lot of difference between it than a football game.
Not a whole lot, but there is something versus catching a football versus blowing somebody's head off.
True.
But at 10 years old, though.
But again, at least in this country, that's the parents' decision.
It is.
And it should be.
Exactly. I was just going to say, and it needs to be the parents' decision. It should be. Because they're your legal guardian. Mm-hmm. Deal with it. Okay? It sucks. I know. Some of you, if you're listening to this, all of you that are listening, I'm sure, are very capable of distinguishing reality from fiction, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you are. I have no doubt in my fucking mind.
But on the other side, going along with this distinction, with as big and beautiful as the graphics are and whatnot, as young adults and small children, we need to be taught
exactly
the difference.
You do.
And you need to be exposed to the difference.
Yes, you do.
Otherwise, you won't know the difference.
Right.
You'll turn 18.
Won't learn.
You'll turn 18 and you'll be completely, like, living under mother's skirt for the last 18 years. Have you met anybody like that? It's nuts.
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
They don't know how to fucking live.
I know, and they blow my mind. Because I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, they're borderline retards.
Yeah.
Even though you know they're smart, it's not like their actual IQ is...
Some of them are very technical. They're very good with, like, say, computers and whatnot.
Right.
Yet you try to bring up anything real...
And
they can't
grasp
it.
They shut down.
Yeah, they do. It's bizarre.
And so in my mind, this sort of thing should be exposed to the kids. They should understand the difference between fake and real.
They should. However, I'm a firm believer in the parents make that decision on when their child is ready.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's 15, maybe it's 10, maybe it's fucking 17 for some people. I know some people that at 28... I think have problems distinguishing reality from fiction, okay?
And that's the problem. You can't put a hard date on this sort of thing.
Exactly. However,
you have to allow the people who know the child to decide when it's best.
You're entirely right. This is exactly how this should be. Really, that's exactly how it is. The Ministry of Information Industry, MII, have... Okay, now listen to this. They have set down a rule to China's online gaming companies to come up with some kind of authentication, like user authentication. So that when you fire up World of Warcraft, right? Mm-hmm. You've got your PvP in that game. You fire a lot, right?
Yeah.
You fire that game up, you register for your account, it's going to ask you for your national ID number. Mm-hmm. This would be like here in the U.S. entering your fucking, Social Security number, there you go, or driver's license number maybe. You know, I'm sure they have it all tied together. And now, you're kind of stuck. You have to abide by their rules. Which, as I said, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of for it at a certain point. But I really don't agree with I don't know. It's a tough subject. Because at some point, you are too young. I know 10-year-olds that play World of Warcraft, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I have no problem with them killing other people. I don't.
No.
It's a video game. It's fake, and it's obviously fake.
And they need to learn that it's fake.
They do. They need to develop that part of their brain that distinguishes right from wrong, reality from untruth.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely need to develop that and at some point figure it out. But I don't think 18 is the answer. I don't think at 18 you need to finally experience what it's like to frag somebody else. I think maybe at 14, 15. You know, and I'm a big believer, too, in waiting. Like we talked, we made that joke about the 12-year-old girl in the cum dumpster T-shirt last time and all that shit, and they're way overdeveloped because of the hormones and shit. I'm a big believer in waiting off on things because I think you need to let your body develop and grow before you start starting to break it down, before you start smoking and doing drugs and drinking and learning bad things and attempting things that you shouldn't. You should let your body develop.
Especially on the drugs and whatnot.
Especially, but there is a very mental thing about it, too. Video games do play a part of that. Why they rate movies the way they rate movies. There is a certain age where you probably shouldn't see somebody blow their fucking head off.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever gory, crazy thing or overly sexual thing it is. There is an age, I think, where all of a sudden that does come into play. Because you hear about, like, 10-year-olds now that are fucking having sex.
Mm.
That's not right. There is definitely fucking something wrong with that. And I sometimes start to think, I'm the only one who has a problem with this. You get, you know, kids that are younger than ever going through puberty these days, and there's something wrong. Shit should not be happening like that, okay? And there's something wrong, because at least when I grew up, everything took a little bit while longer, I guess. And we were more mature before things actually happened, but we learned a lot, though.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, this shit is being shoved down your throat. And with the internet, as great as I think it is, can be very, very harmful. You know, there's a lot of shit out there. There really is.
There is, but that's just the way it's got to be, in my opinion. I mean, you start censoring the internet and whatnot, and oh my God, I have to leave the planet if that happens.
That would be bad. It would be bad, but again, that's not the responsibility of the internet or the service provider or the hosts or anything. It is the responsibility or the government. No, you're right. It is the responsibility of the parents to monitor and look over and develop their child.
And the worst part about all this is that I understand from personal experience, parents work their asses off.
Yeah.
My dad worked night shift, and my mom worked 12 hours a day. I raised myself. They weren't around to police this kind of stuff. And it's a tough balance. I mean, what do you do?
Exactly. But that's to keep a roof over their head and keep them fed, but you want to teach them also.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
No, I was in the same position. I lived with just my mom for a number of years. You know, my parents got divorced.
She had to work her ass off just to keep bread on the table.
Exactly, and she did. And I never saw her. Mm-hmm. I did not see her but maybe 2 hours a day. And when even when she was there, I was playing video games. I was on BBSs at the time. We did not have the internet.
Right.
We had BBSs. And I went all over the country and downloaded information, whatever I could find, whatever I could learn. I grew up on video games and computers and technology.
And there is a big problem there. I freely admit that. But the government control is not the answer.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a bad, nasty Band-Aid fix.
Yes, it is.
To be best.
It does not work. Now, we've actually went on this actually serious topic longer than I thought, so I'm going to scrap most of the details. There's something about China has 20 million online game players, something about half of which play MMORPGs, and like, whatever, 6% of them, or almost 6%, were under the age of 18. Whatever. We have to move on. We were going to talk about, there were some demos that came out this week that we had to play, things that we absolutely had to check out for the PC. And Dungeon Siege 2 was one of those.
Yeah, I don't know if I had to check this out because
I wanted to and I had to because I hated the first one so much, yet heard so many good things about it, which I thought it never deserved.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I have not played the whole demo. It's actually a pretty long demo. I put a good half hour, 45 minutes into this, and it's still not done.
Okay.
So that's impressive. But in my mind, they at least did a good job of sort of fixing many, if not all, of the issues I personally had with the first one. First thing that struck me is there's a lot more story depth to the second one. It seemed to me, for what I played of the first one, it just kind of was, go kill this, go kill that.
That's how
kill,
it felt kill, to kill, me kill, too. Kill. Right, and very, very, like, okay, there's linear, and there's you following a path.
Yes, there's Dungeon Siege 1 was a tunnel.
Yes.
Throughout the whole game, just a tunnel. But more on that in a minute. There's definitely more story, and I thought that's a good thing. This is not the type of game that's supposed to be like super heavy on the story. It's more like Icewind Dale, which had a enough story that it was an RPG and it was entertaining, but it was still the focus was on killing. And that's what this is. And that's fine. There's more involvement in combat. There's more skills to choose from. There's more at any one time. There's instead of just picking, like, you want your mage to cast Fireball and you want your ranger to attack and you want your tank to do this, that, or the other, you actually attack each turn. Yeah, you can hold down the mouse button and it'll continue to
or
attack and whatnot.
Click, right? Like right, or you can click, right? Right, or you can click. Diablo 1 or whatever.
Right. And although that's very simple, I hated in the first one how you just set up what everybody's going to do, kick back and watch the fireworks. It didn't feel like I was playing the game.
Right.
And so even though that's simple and there's nothing really to it, it helps bring you into the combat a little more. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. That game, the first one, that's what a big issue of mine
was.
That was
my biggest issue by a good long shot. There is now more exploration. Granted, everything still is very tunnel-y, but there'll be many tunnels to choose. I want to go this way, and I want to go this way. So there's more exploration.
Thank God.
And I understand the even need for a kind of lack of exploration, a bit of linear stuff to this sort of game, because it helps push people, it helps control
There's
the flow.
There's a word for that, I bet, like lineality or something. But I don't know what it is.
But it helps control the flow, it helps control a lot of the things. I think control in a video game environment is a good thing. I think some of these games that are coming out that are just do whatever the fuck you please, they're not really fine-tuned enough because there's too many choices. And so you end up with a lot of combinations and shit that just don't work.
Right. In a single-player game, I absolutely agree. Abso-frickin-lutely. There needs to be some guidance.
MMORPGs and the like are a little different in that regard.
Right, exactly.
But that's because a good chunk
of... That's
their
nature, though. You know,
right. A good chunk of the content is actually the players.
Exactly. You're just kind of fucking around.
it's a little different in that regard.
Yeah.
But there's also more customization. There's special heroic abilities that you can only have one loaded at a time, and they take a long time to refresh. But, like, one of the Rangers' first ones increases their damage by, like, 1,200%.
Holy crap. That's pretty fat.
Yeah, so they're things that are supposed to be, like, the oh shit button.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and each class will have many of those that you can choose from by the end of the game. There's also, like, a tree where, so you get a point every time you level, and you get to put it somewhere in the tree.
Oh, the skill tree.
Right.
Okay.
And so, some of them, like for the combat mage, which I was playing, you can increase how much damage your spells do or how much mana you have or how much yada, 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 on and on throughout the tree. And I thought that was pretty interesting because customization in any RPG is a good
thing.
That's
nice, yeah, definitely.
And it seemed to be lacking a little bit in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall that tree being in there.
I didn't play it long enough to tell you, but I don't remember it being very fun at all. My issue was that dudes appeared out of thin fucking air as I walked down the tunnel.
Okay. They no longer appear. A lot of them are just flat out there to begin with, and then when the game decides you need extra enemies for whatever reason, they like jump out of the bushes. So they don't literally appear, but it is in effect the same thing. But that never really bothered me near as much as it did you. Some of the little features. There's a mana and HP and health point bushes. And basically, the major storyline is that there was this special shield and a special sword, and when they hit together, they broke and caused this huge schism throughout the world. And many people might know what a ley line is. It's actually supposedly a real thing where there's lines in the earth that have energy.
Whoa, I've never heard that before.
It's a new age concept.
Oh,
but
okay.
On these ley lines, mana and HP bushes grow. And if you have the skill, you walk up to them and they turn into mana potions that you can then pick up. It's a neat little thing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's a nice way to get potions into the world because obviously this is a very potion heavy game.
Yeah.
Potions are a good
Diablo.
Thing. Yeah. Well, it is basically like a Diablo type game. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's also, I forget what they're actually called in the game, but they're basically chant altars. And it's this big sphere thing, and you learn different chants, and you can go into this altar and chant one of them, and then you get raised AC or a higher mana regen or whatever.
Nice.
So you pick when you get up to one of these things, you can pick which buff it's going to give you.
Right.
Depending on what your situation is at the time. Many people might remember that the original introduced mules. Which was fat, the pack animal thing,
that was awesome.
It's this dude that had a bunch of inventory space. Well, now they have several different kinds of animals, and I don't really know what they are offhand. But basically, the different ones, maybe some of them have more HP, or some of them can actually attack, or some of them have extra inventory space. So you get to choose which type of pack animal you get, and they actually gain XP and gain abilities of their own.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I might actually have to check this out, and I really didn't want to, but I still downloaded it, all 1.4 gigs of it.
It's a big demo, but it's also, like I said earlier, pretty long so far.
Yeah.
I mean, a half an hour plus demo is decent in size.
Yeah, pretty decent, yeah, it is.
A big problem that I forgot to mention at the beginning that I have is they pulled a Diablo 2. They used the same engine as the first one and just gussied up the graphics a little bit. It does not look bad. It still looks okay, but it does look a little old.
Did they actually use the same engine, or does it just appear that they used the
No,
same
I think I read that they actually used the Dungeon Siege 1 engine,
okay.
And then just used a stronger poly,
right,
like higher
engine,
stuff like that.
And shit, right, and higher triangle polygons.
And I think it actually looks a little better than Dungeon Seed 1 than Diablo 2 looked compared to Diablo 1, but it is exactly what they did. They just used the old engine.
That's pretty ghetto.
Yeah, but like I said, as I recall, Dungeon Seed 1 looked pretty amazing for its time.
For its time? It's an old game now, though.
Yes, it is. 4 years old.
Yeah.
And, but like I said, they did use higher resolution graphics. They did what they could with the engine, and it does not look bad. It does not get too many points taken away from it for its graphics. Okay. It is acceptable.
And it did look like fun. I saw you got to play it for a little while, and I was like, wow, I could actually check this out. But I don't know. I mean, I'll have to check it out.
For those that absolutely loved Diablo or the first one, this looks like it's going to be a pretty sick game.
Definitely. If you're into that kind of shit, I think you're all into this.
I think they actually did a pretty good job. And like I said, they addressed a lot of my concerns with the first one.
I'm glad to hear that, though, because I really, really thought, oh, this is going to be terrible. Not even fucking worth looking into. It's going to be just like the first one.
That's it?
Okay. Well, we were supposed to talk about World Tour Soccer 2006, the books. Unfortunately, he's changing a flat tire at the moment. But I...
You kick around a ball.
Yeah.
And,
people try to block it.
They call it football.
And it hurts.
And when
don't
you,
let it go in the net.
When you score, there's probably some guy going, goal! Goal!
Exactly. Unfortunately, we don't have to talk about that because Hooks is out with a flat tire. I, however, have come to the conclusion I'm sick and fucking tired of being disappointed with games. Every game I try, I'm not happy with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is that I'm missing. It's not like I want to play Super Mario Brothers all day. It's not like I want to relive some old game. It's not like I want an exact remake port of, say, Doom. It's not that. I just want something fun. It doesn't have to be original. It doesn't have to be new. It just has to be fun.
That's half the problem, though. It's not ever.
Exactly. You know, and then I got to play something I waited for, and the hype got to me, and I thought it was going to be fantastic. And that was Dungeons & Dragons Dragon Shard.
Now,
I don't
know what you're talking about with hype, because I have never heard of this game.
See, I have. And I was all over trying to get into the beta and everything. And I really, really wanted to play this game. An RTS based on D&D.
Mm-hmm.
How fat is that? You're going to have this... They have the monstrous compendium. All these fucking creatures they can pull from. They have so much history and so much lore they can pull from. This game cannot go wrong. And they drop the ball. Now, the very first thing I have to mention about this game, you download the demo, and you unzip it, and run it. Now, to me, that's fantastic, because I like keeping track of my files. I know where things are. I know that they're not whoring all over my computer. It's together.
Yeah, just dumping a load in the registry, however it
sees fit. Exactly. And that's what most things do. And so I like the idea of unzipping it and running an executable, and bam, I'm playing the game. And that's how this is set up. However, as much as I may like that, that system carries a certain we-don't-care-we're-pretty-ghetto feeling about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like you almost expected some kind of installer program to handle this for you. And that didn't happen with this game. And that's fine. So I said, okay, I'll move on. And the main menu comes up, and it looks very 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay, I'll give it that. I was kind of wondering what your problem with it was.
It didn't look very... It looked very 2D and 256 color type. It just... I don't know. There was something about the main menu that threw me off, and I was kind of a little shaken by that. I thought, wow, you guys could have a really nice menu. Look at the games we have today, and you guys went with this. You went with almost static fucking menu with a few gears rolling around that looked very crappy. So I didn't know. I said, okay, but the game itself has to be fun. And you fire up the game, and a really neat little map appears, and you get to pick where you want to do your combat. And I thought, that's cool. I get to pick where I'm going to go next, and it's graphical.
Mm-hmm.
And no big deal. That's been in a lot of other games. So I click the one they give me in the demo, well, the first one. And your intro movie, supposed to be fat, supposed to set you up for the game. And it shows you, like, this airship-type deal, which isn't very good looking, but it's all 3D. And the camera rotates ever so slowly around this airship thing, while some boring guy talks on and on and on and on and on and on about the story to set you up. And you get to see nothing but this airship, which seems to have fuck all to do with anything. It drops you off there. Fantastic. And it was just kind of gay. So, next thing you know, you start the map, and you get to pick your hero, or your champion, I'm sorry. You've got four champions, at least in the demo, which is pretty cool. You have, like, some Warforged guy, some elven chick, some other dude, and somebody else, like some dwarf or something, which is cool. They each have their own benefits, you know, their own pluses and minuses and whatnot, reasons that you would take them, you know? Well, it almost seemed like it didn't matter. Because the AI was so bad that you would tell your characters to go attack. You would select your little group of, you know, two dwarves or whatever you had, and your main guy, and the controls were half Blizzard controls, you know, so it was decent. You knew the control one would set your squad as one, you know. A, left click on the map would send your guys into attack mode walking down the map. Well, you do that, and a good lot of the time, just your guys will wind up attacking while your champion will not attack. I noticed that he or she would just stand there.
That's pretty horrid.
You know, it was terrible. I would constantly have to select my main guy out of the combat somehow and specifically request him to attack a certain creature. And I thought that was pretty bad, but I thought, you know, maybe that's not so bad, because maybe he won't get attacked and he'll live a little bit longer and I can use his special abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little bit later, you go on and you find some town you need to rescue and there's some people there and you can talk to them. But they don't speak. You click them, and they have a little text dialogue that comes up. And you can read what they say, but I really, really felt they needed to speak. They needed to have voice acting in this a lot more.
No, see, I disagree. I disagree because I think voice acting is one of those relatively useless waste of money that causes our games to be borderline reaching $60 these days, or they're thinking about it.
360 games are supposed to be $60.
And that's one of the things that they're pouring all this money into, paying voice actors, that they don't need to. I think you're just so used to them talking.
I probably am. However, this should evolve. Games should evolve.
I understand, but I just think that they're spending too much money into all this bullshit, all these crisp, beautiful graphics and the voice acting and this, that, and the other, when they should be spending more money on, you know, developing good games.
You're right. They should be. However, part of the, at least in my opinion, part of the development cycle is the complete package. The gameplay, decent graphics, sound, voice comes in there somewhere. I really missed it, though. Okay, you cannot play a Blizzard real-time strategy and not love the sound.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So why does this game have no voices? Okay, this comes up what we brought up before. It might be a demo-only thing where they pulled the voices. But god damn it, they better have voices in this game when you click on your units. And they better have a lot different ones, because it adds a little bit of personality. It adds to the game.
I can see those little like one-liners where the peon goes...
That's all I'm really looking for.
Okay.
Okay, it would be nice if they had the ones that go on and on and on. There's a couple people you talk to. They give you quests, you know, save our town, do this, go to this cave and kill that. Side missions. The game does have little side missions, but it seems pointless. You never feel like you're actually doing anything, which is a big problem I had with it. The combat sucked. The AI was horrid. I would get my characters stuck behind NPCs and they could not get out from behind them.
Yeah, that's bad.
You know, I mean, I'd be off in combat saying, where the hell is the rest of my army?
But how far away from final product is this? Like, when is it supposed to come out?
You know, I don't know. But if this is what they're calling a demo, I fear for this game. I'm not even going to care, and I own every Dungeons & Dragons licensed game there is. I even have Pool of Radiance, the original one that fucked your shit up bad on release day, okay? I have that, and I still own it, okay? And I really don't care about this game at all, and it worries me, because I should. I've wanted this game so bad, and it sucks. It's not fun to play.
And that is a problem, even if it is because it's a demo. They really should release a real solid chunk. Like, even if they ignore all this extra stuff for the time being and just make that chunk awesome so that they deliver something that people can sink their teeth into.
Okay, you can even make it 15 minutes of total ass kick, and it's a better demo than an hour of suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I think they went wrong. I don't know what the final product is going to look like, but I'm sorely disappointed as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to talk about suck-ass games any longer, because there was a game that we played this week, the demo of, that blew my fucking mind.
Mine too.
It was absolutely incredible. I could not wipe the shit-eating grin off my face when I played the demo for Fear. Fear, single-player demo, is out. Fear stands for First Encounter Assault Recon. Now, the story goes on to explain that there was like a special elite team formed to deal with like supernatural encounters, okay? Something about that. And, you know, I actually wasn't paying too much attention during the opening movie because I was so blown away by the quality of the opening movie. I kept saying to myself, holy shit, this is awesome.
Mm.
The way that they shot the opening sequence was just beautiful. And it really was, it was extremely cinematic, and it was just, it was really, really well done. And I just kept sitting there going, oh my god, this is going to kick ass. They put effort into this, unlike the Dragon Shard people. And it's got, okay, now, well, you know, first I have to mention, just before I started this game up, there was one very strange issue. Okay, you unpack it, you go to install the game. It installs just fine. You go to run the game, and I don't know if this happens with, say, the Windows firewall, which I doubt, because that one's, you know, pretty bare minimum. Zone Alarm, I doubt it happens with, too, if it's just firewall. But Karyo has IDS with it also, some intrusion detection, right? The IDS module of Karyo picked up Fear as an intruder and shut the game down hard.
Crashed it down.
Every time I tried to play. So if you're running Karyo Personal Firewall, I think it's version 4.2, at least that's the one I've got, or whatever the latest one is, I know I have it. You got to shut that down to play, or at least turn off the IDS. Okay, you cannot have your intrusion detection on because it shuts the game down. Something to do, it looked like, with the memory allocation and the way that it fucking dealt with the memory. It detected it as a threat. So you shut that down, and you can actually fucking play the game. And as I said, the intro movie was absolutely amazing. I was blown away by just the movie. I was creeped out, excited, and scared, and just enthusiastic. I mean, it did it all.
This, from first glance, seems to me like it's going to give Doom 3 a serious run for its money.
It does, doesn't it? Because I kept thinking, holy shit, Doom is screwed.
Yeah.
I really did. And now here's the thing. You're military now, though. You're a product of the system. There was something about all these clones to become military people, and I wish I could remember a whole lot more than that, but I don't. And it seemed rather creepy. Now, at first, you're thinking, what do you mean creepy?
Liberal use of little girls.
Okay, little girls are fucking scary.
In the right setting, at the very least, little girls are very scary.
Right. You have... Okay, your mission starts out where you're trying to capture this dude who's basically killing people all over. He's like an escapee from some whatever. Mm. You've got to take this guy out, and you're the fucking man, okay? So you got to go get this guy. So they arm you with a pistol, which is more like a bazooka.
This pistol was crazy.
But it was fast.
Putting big old chunk holes in the wall.
As you shot, you could take out chunks of the wall, which is a good thing.
The physics of your enemies was incredible. Just absolutely incredible. Things falling just like they should.
Yeah.
Your enemies, like, jump through the windows and, like, hop over fences to get to you. And
the AI was absolutely retarded. It was so good. At some point you think I'm playing against humans.
Mm-hmm.
They would seriously fucking... Okay, I knock over a bucket of paint, and you would hear them. Did you hear that? Go check that out. And they'd come around the corner, all creeping around looking for my dumb ass.
Or using a flashlight in the wrong spot. I think I saw a flashlight.
Yeah. They were on top of it, and they were not stupid. They would not walk right up to you and let you blow them the fuck away, because I guarantee you, you can blow them the fuck away, because the guns in this game
are sick.
Oh, they're amazing. They're so good. They feel good. Now, you're playing a video game. They sound good. They look good. End of game. These feel good. They had some bass to them when I was shooting. Just, you know, you feel like you're tearing into people. You're blowing holes in the walls when you miss. The enemy doesn't stand there while you shoot him. Mm-hmm. He tries to get the fuck out of the way of the bullets. He dives behind crates. Of course, there is a lot of crates in this. Okay, there was crates in Dragon Shard 2, by the way. I was kind of pissed. And, you know, they dive over walls. You shoot out a window. They dive through the window. They're taking cover. They're jumping over railings and shit. They're coming out of helicopters.
They crawl under stuff.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I knocked over a fucking... what the hell was it? Some kind of a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy knew that I knocked it over. And instead of just standing behind it and shooting me while I killed him...
Or walk straight through it.
Right. He crawled underneath the motherfucker to get to me and took, you know, a tactical stance while he was down there and everything. I mean, it blew my mind. The AI for this game is absolutely amazing. And yet, you're still creeped out because every now and again, you know, this is all paranormal.
Right.
Okay? And there is some very creepy shit. You know, there's points where they have little scenes, like Doom did, where you walk around and all of a sudden, boom, you enter some freaky scene and some scary shit happens. I'm walking down a hallway, and the door in front of me closes. It's dark. I turn around. There's a light at the far end of the tunnel, pretty far away, and I can see, like, a little girl standing there. And all of a sudden, the room goes just pure white. I don't know what to do, so I walk to the end of the room, the other end, and something jumps out the wall, and I shoot it, but it's not really there.
Mm-hmm.
I turn around and walk back to the other side, and bam, there's another something that's not really there.
You try to open up the door, and it, like, just crumbled away to a wall.
Yeah, it's freaky.
Blood on the ceiling, and it...
Yeah.
They did a really good job with making it creepy.
And you're all in slow-mo. You have special abilities, like some slow-mo shit you can do, too, which recharges pretty fast. You've got a flashlight.
Which, considering some of the enemies, is really a good thing.
Yeah, and it's not, like, over-the-top slow-motion. And the cool thing was you had full bullet time, like...
The trails.
Yeah. It's in full effect. Man, you knew when you had bullet time on, and it looked really fucking good.
And it was actually a good use of it. It was. It felt right.
It did. Because it wasn't overly long. It was only maybe 10 seconds at best.
Mm.
Yeah,
I was very impressed with that game.
I can't say enough about this game. It was creepy. It was fun. It was fast. It was good. It was scary. It kicked ass. It really, really did.
Seriously.
Yeah. No, I was blown away. It was really good stuff. Yeah. This is going to be something I'm probably going to have to buy right away.
Yeah, even I'm thinking of it about it. Assuming my computer will run it.
That is the issue I had with this game. You get two enemies on the screen, you're looking at 20 frames per second, I swear to God. 2 gigs of DDR2. Pentium 3, 3.4 HT enabled. GeForce 6800, 256 megs of RAM, PCI Express, serial ATA hard drives. It lags ass on my machine. The only other issue we had with the demo was that at one of like the maybe 10 times that I loaded the game, the graphics were tweaked.
Mm.
Tweaked hard. Textures were fucked up in this. And I'm not sure what caused that.
Again, that's probably just a glitch. I'm sure it'll get ironed out. Half the time with PC games, there's glitches on opening day, and they iron them out later.
So I hope that isn't too big of a problem. Whatever the case, it was so worth putting up with. I still played it and loved it. The demo is short. It takes like 15 fucking minutes. But you know what? It is probably the coolest 15 minutes you've spent in PC gaming in months. It really is.
It was awesome.
It really was. I mean, there was points where I was actually kind of shocked. A little bit of scared, maybe. You know,
damn little girls.
You know, yeah, they're creepy, as you said. You know, it was good stuff. And I think this game has a lot going for it. I have hope for the future. We're already way over the stream, and we still have shit to talk about a little bit. You want to keep going?
Sure.
We don't. It's not going to take long. We've got some music I want to mention. Now, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned a band called The Birthday Massacre, which I've absolutely fallen in love with. They have their album, Violet, being re-released. It was like self-published or whatever before, and it cost a whole lot of money. It was hard to find, and blah, 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 blah. Was picked up by Metropolis now, and it's supposed to be carried by a lot of major retailers on the 9th, August 9th. Violet by The Birthday Massacre comes out. Supposed to be at Best Buy. I checked. None of them in our warehouse, in our territory. So as far as I'm concerned, the West Coast is not going to carry this fucking album, and I'm going to have to go to some other shit, like Tower Records.
It's not the 9th yet.
No, today's what? The
7th.
7th? Right. The warehouse doesn't have any.
Oh, and should.
I looked. The warehouse
does
not.
Oh, you mean the main warehouse where the trucks
come from. In the West. They don't have any. So, I don't know where you're going to find this album. Spets, I'm looking at you, brother. We'll figure something out. Okay, because he's one of the listeners that really, really turned out to like that band a lot. They blew my fucking mind. I love those guys. They were awesome. Spets and I talked about it on IRC. The new album comes out with 4 new tracks. It's not new. It's a re-release of their album Violet with 4 new tracks on it, and it's going to be reasonably priced. You can also get it from Metropolis Records' website, I saw.
Okay.
So you might want to just order it from there, but I want it sooner than that, and I want to pick it up at a retail place. Also, I've been listening to a lot of Bleeding Through lately. The album is called This Is Love, This Is Murderous. Been listening to that a lot lately. It's kind of old now. They're probably working on a new album anyway, and they probably already have one out, and I don't know. But I'll tell you what, there's some good stuff. That crazy hardcore shit that I don't listen to all that much, they've got a good song or two on there. One got me fucking hooked called On Wings of Lead. It's good stuff. I think people might want to check that out.
Okay.
Right? Bleeding Through is the name of the band. Now, as far as movies go this week, did you watch any actual movies?
I watched Alexander, but...
That's kind of old,
yeah.
Though. Didn't we talk about that before?
Possibly.
Like a 3-hour gay joke or something?
Yeah.
Something like that. All right. But we did see 2 trailers for some movies that used to be highly anticipated. Well, one, we watched the Doom trailer.
Yeah,
you hear that sigh? Okay. You've got a group of people with The Rock on Mars and a hell of a lot of people working for the company. And some creatures.
It looks like it might be an okay movie. Maybe action, shooting stuff.
I'm afraid.
But it's not Doom.
No, I mean, it's not Doom.
They do this way too often. They send out this movie that is mildly like what the game is and then call it that game. And I think that's the problem they have from square one every single time.
One, it takes place on Mars. 2, it has the name Doom. 3, it has some demons. Somehow, that makes it Doom.
Mm-hmm.
What does it have to do with one guy alone? Scared shitless. Terrified.
In hell.
This has absolutely nothing to do with Doom. And I'm very afraid for this movie. I don't even want to see it anymore. I don't care. It looks bad. It looks like, I think you even said before, standard action blast-em type of movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not excited. The enemies don't look amazing. The squad idea sounds kind of stupid.
The worst part is I don't know if I want this to succeed or fail.
I want it to fail. I want...
Well, yeah, but then they might just say, oh, there's another video game movie down the drain.
They will.
We tried and failed.
They will. But
and they won't
what?
Make any more.
Because someday somebody will do it right. Somebody will do a video game movie right. Just
it's
like...
Actually like the video game?
Right, exactly. Just like when we started getting comic movies that were okay. You know, we started getting a few that actually hit the fucking nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while, but it happened. You know, maybe...
You'd think they'd learn from that.
You know, I wish they would, but they don't. They're Hollywood. They don't see it that way. They're stupid.
They think they...
Fuck them.
They think they got the equation down.
Exactly. The movie system right here. This is what makes a successful movie. Wrong. Fuckers.
That's what made a successful movie 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Keep up with the frickin' times.
Exactly. Now, we also saw, and I saw this in the theater and for the first time, and
crazy.
I had no idea this was even coming out, Saw 2, which I really
liked.
You mean
you saw the trailer?
I saw the trailer
in the
for
movie.
Saw 2 at the theater for Saw 2, the trailer. And I really, really, really liked Saw, the original, Saw 1.
Ah.
I thought it was fantastic. I really get off on morbid, creepy shit, and I don't know why. I like it. I think it's real. I think I like seeing people trying to portray something real, and it was scary. Not like, let's say, I finally saw House of 1,000 Corpses, you know, like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the movie more as a comedy, though, than as like a horror movie, because it was too funny and over the top. There was a lot of great shit in there, and they showed some really gory, creepy, nasty, morbid stuff, and I ate it up. But it really was kind of cheesy at certain points, which is why I bring that up, because I saw, in the theater, The Devil's Rejects, which is right, takes place after House of 1,000 Corpses, opens up where they, the sheriffs and the cops and all that, they raid the farmhouse, okay, with the family. And I don't want to blow the whole fucking story, but let's say some of them get captured by the police, some of them escape. The movie is split between very little of the ones that are in jail, okay, very, very little, how the sheriff gets kind of obsessed and psychotic about catching the others and making them and punishing them, okay, and then their escape, and what they do during that escape, and how they survive during the escape from the police. This movie was completely different than the original. If you did not like House of a Thousand Corpses, because it was over the top and a little ridiculous, this movie kicked ass. I like them both a lot because they're different movies, completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
The Devil's Rejects is much more realistic. It really gives you that feeling of, if I was going to go on a murderous rampage, this is kind of how it would start out, at the very least. It really did, because it was real.
Mm-hmm.
It was not ridiculous. You didn't have these crazy experiments and all this crazy shit. You had straight up having to stab people out of necessity. They would try to escape. You would shoot them. You had to. Okay, you would fuck with them a little bit. You were in power. They would try to escape. Let's say you had to fight them. They would die. But it was realistic feeling. It felt like there was emotion behind the killing sometimes, you know, and some necessity. You had to. It was really, really a good movie. And the end of it, like at the end, you're going through this movie, and it's extremely real. And you've got this psychotic sheriff that's going out of his mind. You've got these people trying to escape. They're trying to rescue people from jail. There's all this stuff going on. Somebody sells out some of the guys. You know, and there's this whole plot behind it, and yet it remains pretty real. And essentially, it turns out that at some point, you're sure the bad guys had really lost. And when I say the bad guys, though, I mean the good guys. The guys that you want to win. At least in my opinion, I see the bad guys, the family, as the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you think they really lose. And you're worried. I mean, the movie puts you through an emotional roller coaster at times with these people because you're torn. Are they bad people or are they really good people that just do some shit out of necessity or for fun? You don't know. Like, and I don't have a problem with it. I love it. I like the idea. I get off on that kind of shit, I guess. I really like it. And at some point, you feel so bad. And then something happens towards the end of the movie where you feel so good for them. After some seriously horrific stuff happens. You get to see some nice, gory, morbid shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're all over the place. Your mind doesn't know where to go. You know, oh my God, is this going to happen? I feel bad, but I feel kind of good because they're kind of good. And holy shit, this other thing happened now, and I think they're all going to be okay. But bam, the movie drops it on you right at the end. It really fucks your shit up because you think, as in Hollywood, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
In all Hollywood movies, it works out to be okay. And in this movie, in my opinion, the bad guys are the good guys, and it's all okay. And they throw this crazy ending twist on you that I did not see coming at all. I saw part of it coming. I knew it because they show you in the beginning. And I remembered it through the whole movie. Somebody's kind of like, you know, is there that they forget about the whole movie and they try to make you forget about. And it comes back and it basically helps out, you know, them, the family.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at the end of the movie, I was actually shocked and surprised at how it ended, which was really good. This is my Rob Zombie, by the way.
I love twists.
I do, too. And this I saw this as just ending perfectly fine. I could see a sequel. Fucking this is awesome. I love these characters. I like the storyline. They've done a great job with both movies. And it did not end how I saw it ending at all. So it was a surprise. And if you like any kind of shit like that, murder and morbid shit, even if you like the first one, you'll like this one, I think, a lot. Even though it's completely different, it is still one hell of a good movie. And I would say, out of 875, I wrote down a number that I think is probably wrong, so ignore the notes.
Okay.
I'm probably going to go, because I really enjoyed this movie, and I'm going to say 750 out of 875. I really felt I got my money's worth. So, yeah. It was a good movie. It was really good. I liked it a lot, and I must highly recommend this if you're into that kind of shit. If not, you're my mother, and you should not watch this at all. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, we've gone a little bit over again, so we better cut it short because we have to edit this shit and have it ready in half an hour somehow.
Ah, very good. Eight.
Yeah, no, we're out of time this week. We will see you next week, hopefully with Hooks. See you later.
Later.